You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming. News.
Of all the people running for president this year, only one has actually defended your right to keep and bear arms in the nation's highest courts. When Washington, D.C. tried to strip its residents of their rights under the Second Amendment, Ted Cruz assembled a coalition of 31 states to support those rights. Action, not talk. That is Ted Cruz. Isn't that what you want from a president?
The Victory 2016 Committee is responsible for the content of this ad.
If you suffer from sleep apnea, you may have to watch out for heart problems. Here's Randy Fuller.
Dr. Rena Mera with the Cleveland Clinic says a new study looks at two types of sleep apnea.
Not so much obstructive sleep apnea, but rather a different kind of sleep apnea called central sleep apnea was associated with development of de novo atrial fibrillation.
The doctor says further studies need to be done.
Whether treating that sleep apnea reduces that risk of atrial fibrillation development remains to be seen.
Central sleep apnea is caused when the brain fails to signal the muscles to breathe, and it's less common than obstructive sleep apnea. The disease is more common in men than in women. I'm Randy Fuller.
Parents are being encouraged to check their medicine cabinets for a pair of generic cough syrups that are now being recalled. Both come with an overdose risk after it was discovered the dosage cups included are marked incorrectly. The two products are Children's Guaifenesin Grape Liquid and Cherry Liquid. The over-the-counter cough medications are sold generically under different brand names. Women who are planning to get pregnant may want to lay off the French fries and mashed potatoes. Sorry, ladies. A new study finds that women who eat more potatoes prior to conceiving could face a higher risk of developing gestational diabetes when pregnant. The form of diabetes that develops during a pregnancy can affect the health of the mother and child. Experts suggest an increase in vegetables, legumes, and whole grain foods to replace spuds in your diet. I'm Ron Taylor with USA Radio News.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
On today's program, I'll have advice from Mark Cuban if you should have won the $1.5 billion Powerball, why you should never touch things twice at work, how a new Supreme Court case could affect public unions. I'll explain why small businesses fail and the four P's of content marketing. It's Thursday, January 14th, 2016, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. We'll be right back. Before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows temperatures currently 31 degrees here in Flemington. It'll be partly sunny with increasing clouds today, a high of 37, a low of 24. Tomorrow it'll be variable cloudiness and milder with a high of 45 and a low of 32. Saturday, rain throughout the day, a high of 46, a low of 33. Sunday, possibly a bit of snow and rain throughout the day, a high of 41 degrees and a low of 30. But as mentioned earlier, it is currently 31 degrees in Flemington, New Jersey at 12:06, and you're listening to Taking Care of Business on Hunter and Chamber Radio. And a current check of the financial market shows all of them up today. The Dow is up 173 points to 16,325.03. The NASDAQ is up 34.60 to 4560.66. S&P 500 up 17.64 to 1,907.92. Oil up 62 cents to $31.10 per barrel. And gold down $5 to $1,082.10 an ounce. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot. This program is called Taking Care of Business, and for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Well, if you're listening to this program, that probably means that you're not in your tax attorney's office. You're not at your accountant's office. They're not picking you up the floor off the floor because you won the Powerball. $1.6 billion. Now, last week I had told everybody and asked you all to think about what you would do when I think it was at like $900 million. And there were some folks who emailed me and said, this is what I would do. And some had some very elaborate plans. Some were, you know, I'm just nervous about because, you know, they were talking about buying islands and Lamborghinis and Porsches, and others, you know, they talked about taking care of family and building a foundation and being able to help their family for, you know, multiple generations. Unless you live or bought a ticket in California, Tennessee, or Florida, it probably doesn't really matter. So hopefully you won at least a couple of dollars on some of the Powerball tickets that you bought. Saw one guy at a store bought 150 tickets, and it created, that's why you saw all the long lines, because people were just going crazy, whether they were buying them in office pools or what, but buying hundreds at a time, thinking that that would have increased their odds. And what was it, something like 1 in 292 million? I heard a statistic that said you were more likely to be struck by lightning while drowning than winning the Powerball. But congratulations to the winners. They're all going to split over a $960,000 pot or $60 million pot. So that's about $300 million apiece. Plus, you know, they got to take out the taxes. But so I'm glad I'm here because I don't think I would have been able to survive on just $300 million. But we'll never know, will we? Tonight is the GOP debate. Noticeably absent will be Rand Paul and Carly Fiorina. You had to place in the top six in five different polls. They were shut out. Rand Paul has been vigorously defending his approach and suggesting that he still be allowed to be on the main stage. That has since been denied. But he was invited to participate in an undercard debate with Carly Fiorina, and he has declined, saying he would rather skip it than waste his time in an undercard or an event where people wouldn't be listening. Now, one of the previews to the show was, what advice could you get from a billionaire if you were to suddenly become a billionaire? And Mark Cuban has advice for whoever wins the Powerball. He said that now that he has reached $1.6 billion and those three people won last night, even if they don't take all of it, like and now they're down to $330 million, you're going to become incredibly rich in just a matter of moments. And billionaire Mark Cuban has some idea of what's that like, what that's like. Cuban recounted the moment he became a billionaire on an episode of James Altucher's podcast. He said, I was sitting in front of a computer, naked, hitting the refresh button because we were close, waiting until my net worth hit that billion-dollar mark. When the stock price got to a certain point, and then I kind of screamed and jumped around, and then I got dressed. Years later, what would he advise a newly minted multimillionaire or a billionaire? Well, Business Insider reached out to Cuban to ask what his tips for potential lottery winners were, and he started the advice. that he gave to his local paper, the Dallas Morning News. He said, the first thing you should do is hire a tax attorney. The second thing is don't take the lump sum. You don't want to blow it all in one spot. Two, or three rather, if you weren't happy yesterday, you won't be happy tomorrow. It's just money. It's not happiness. Fourth, if you were happy yesterday, you're going to be a lot happier tomorrow because it is money, and life gets easy when you don't have to worry about the bills. Five, tell all your friends and relatives no. And Michael Strahan said the same thing, you know, when he was making millions in the NFL and all the latchers on were coming in and everything like that. He finally just told everybody, no, this is my money. I've earned it. This is my body that's being punished every week. And he just said no. They definitely will ask, and you tell them no. So if you're close to them, you already know who needs help and what they need, and feel free to help some. But talk to your accountant before you do anything, and remember this, no one needs $1 million for anything. No one needs $100,000 for anything. Anyone who asks is really not your friend. And you don't become a smart investor when you win the lottery, so don't make investments. You can put it in the bank and live comfortably forever. You'll sleep a lot better knowing that you won't lose the money. And he also shared one last bonus tip with Business Insider. He said, be nice, because no one likes a mean billionaire. Good advice from Mark Cuban, should you ever find yourself in the position of being a multimillionaire or a billionaire. I am in week two of the great Weight Watchers plan that I embarked on back on January 5th. So as an update, I went to my first meeting last week, and there's three steps to the program. And the first is obviously your weight and what you eat. So that's going to be one component. The second is fitness. The third is what they're calling me time, taking time out for yourself to do whatever it is that you enjoy. So whether that's yoga or running or something like that, just alone time where it's just a chance for you to recharge the batteries. People ask me why I do this show every week. I have to interrupt my work day, but this is kind of like my me time. Announcing football and basketball games at the high school, that's my kind of me time. So there's a fourth component, I think, that's missing. So the update would be that since I started on January 5th, I've now lost 10 pounds. And a friend of mine who's a doctor used to equate this to weight loss to bowling balls. He'd ask, how much do you want to lose? And in this instance, I mentioned last week I found that picture from high school, saw the body that I had, and want to get back somewhere close to that. So I said that my goal this year is 65 pounds. And very quickly he did some math, and he goes, you know, a man your size would probably use a 16-pound bowling ball. So he goes, don't look at the goal of losing 65 pounds. Look at it as I want to lose four bowling balls. So I'm well on my way to losing the first bowling ball. That's good. I told him what the weight loss was yesterday, and he goes, that's great. You just had a baby. You know, you've lost 10 pounds. Now let's work on that bowling ball. So I'll keep you in touch. I got to go back to another meeting this Saturday. Very serious about it. You know, definitely want to see this through to the finish line. I don't want to get to, say, losing 20 pounds and say, okay, that's good. I definitely want to get down to that goal weight that I was looking at. So we'll have to see whether or not I can do that. And if I do, we're going out for steaks. Just kidding. There was a little bit of sad news out of Hollywood yesterday. Take a listen.
Foolish wand waving or silly incantations in this class. As such, I don't expect many of you to appreciate the subtle science and exact art that is potion making. However, for those select few who possess the predisposition, I can teach you how to bewitch the mind and ensnare the senses. I can tell you how to bottle fame, brew glory, and even put a stopper in death. Then again, maybe some of you have come to Hogwarts in possession of abilities so formidable that you feel confident enough to not pay attention.
That is the British actor Alan Rickman, who died yesterday at the age of 69. He's best known for his portrayal as Professor Snape in the Harry Potter series. That was a little clip there from one of the scenes in one of the earlier movies. But I always enjoyed Snape and imitating Snape, you know, with my kids, especially when they were younger and the Harry Potter series was just coming out. You know, if I was a little angry at them or something like that, I would get jump into my Severus Snape voice and tell them what they did wrong, but do it in that tone and that pace. And then when things were going good, I'd act like Hagrid. So definitely a sad day in Hollywood with the passing of Alan Rickman. And of course, last week we lost David Bowie. So things come in threes. We'll have to see who is next. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Also want to make a note of a programming note. I'm having a conversation later this afternoon with a company called On Deck Capital. On Deck Funding. Now, this is if your business needs working capital, whether it's to pay debt, expand operations, things like that, cover purchase orders, On Deck Capital could be the solution to that. It's quicker than banks, and it's an online program. And so I'm pre-interviewing them today, and hopefully we'll be able to bring them onto the program in the next week or two. Meeting with their marketing department this afternoon. But sometimes businesses will always ask me, you know, I need $20,000. I need $40,000. You know, where can I find this money? I don't want to go to the bank. It takes too long. So On Deck may be the solution. If that's the case and we can lock down the interview, I will post that on our Facebook page. So go to facebook.com and look up Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot. Like that page, and then you'll get the updates as far as when we set that interview up. But right now, it's time to step away, take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about why you should never touch things twice at work. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. So glad you could join us, as we do every Thursday at this time, right around noon o'clock, getting together to talk about issues affecting businesses, large and small. And one issue that we've been particularly spending a lot of time on at Crown Trophy is never touching things twice. And I have come to absolutely despise the term multitasking, you know. And when my when I ask what my employees are working, I say, well, I'm multitasking. I'm doing this and that and this and that. I get a little annoyed because I'd rather do one thing well than two things half-assed. And I have said this on this program at least 30 times, you know, how multitasking, you really never seem to complete anything. You feel productive. You're busy. You have busy work, but you're not finishing the job. And keeping productive is as much about maintaining your momentum as it is about managing your use of time. And you're better off finishing everything you start, not saving halfway done tasks for later. Now, obviously, some tasks are long-term projects that require you to revisit them occasionally. For normal day-to-day tasks, however, Dr. Travis Bradbury, the co-author of Emotional Intelligence 2.0, suggests that you never leave any tasks incomplete. Never touch things twice. That's it. Never putting anything in a holding pattern, because touching things twice is a huge time waster and money spender. Don't save an email or a phone call to deal with later. As soon as something gets your attention, you should act on it, delegate it, or delete it. Now, when you stop leaving things halfway done and complete tasks as they come your way, you'll preserve your productivity momentum and get more done in the long run. Plus, you won't forget what you were doing or how you were going to do it. There's no better time to complete a task than actually when you start it. Momentum is a key force to your productivity. It's the reason that sometimes you can work effortlessly, and at other times it feels like pulling teeth. You can structure your day so that you build momentum and write it out strategically. A couple of years ago, entrepreneur Zach Shapiro wrote, "Momentum is a hell of a drug." And it made me realize that you can be a lot more efficient and effective if you build and harness that momentum to get things done. And here are a couple ways that you can do that. First, you want to minimize context switching. Now, computer programs use the programmers use the term context switching to describe when tasks are stored in a computer's memory to be picked up at a later time. Context switching happens in real life as well. Working on a task continuously is simpler than stopping and picking it up later. It takes time for you to focus and zone in on your previous train of thought. In fact, when something or someone interrupts your current task, or when you interrupt yourself with a distraction, it can sometimes take up to 25 minutes to simply get back to where you were. It's why multitasking is so inefficient. Preserving your momentum by minimizing context switching. Forget multitasking. If your job requires a ton of varying tasks to do throughout the week, focus with what I call themed days. Use the 3+2 to-do list to limit yourself to specific tasks throughout the day. And if possible, clear your schedule to reset the clutter in your mind. Now, what do we mean when we say give each workday a theme for productive momentum? And what does it mean to set aside an administrative day for errands and small tasks? Well, let's work on the theme portion. If you're working on a particular project and there's several components, whether it's compiling a report, building a particular piece of machinery or something like that, break it down into small, manageable chunks, but allow enough time during each workday so that eventually you can see how the project will get done. I remember, breaking this down to the ridiculous. My son had a school project back in fifth grade, and the teacher was known for this. And if you got this teacher, you're almost doomed to fail. And it was called the Biomes Project, and they had to do research on the biomes that are out there in the world, like the grassland, the deserts, the tundra, things like that. But you had to have pictures. You had to have encyclopedia articles. When all was said and done, the project was over an inch thick, and it was due in March. And he was so overwhelmed by the size and the scope of the project that I finally broke it down on a calendar. And I said, look, if you accomplish these tasks starting December 1st and you do each of these tasks every day, the project will be done a week in advance. And sure enough, that's how he approached it. And that's how it got done in time. And he got the best grade that the teacher ever handed out for his biome project. And she actually wanted to keep it. He said, no way. I'm holding on to this one. Now, spreading the dull pain of chores and errands throughout the week seems to make sense. However, it can be taxing to remember that you have to do laundry or stop by the grocery store after a long day at work, and it could also be a full-out annoyance, death by a thousand paper cuts. Instead, see if you can set aside a half day or a full day just to get those obligations done for the entire week. Maybe if you have flex time, You can work a few extra hours Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Get Friday afternoon off and get all of your regular personal errands done so you don't feel like you have to run around and get them all done at lunch or spend an entire Saturday getting them done. Author and computer science professor Cal Newport shares this idea of taking one day a week to do nothing but small tasks, every obligation that can be accomplished in less than 20 minutes and or doesn't require serious thought. And that can include laundry, phone calls, cleaning, filling out applications, or paying bills. Once those details are out of the way, you can go all in at work and maximize your output because you know the rest of your errands have been taken care of. You can put all your energy into the things you need to do without having the small chores nagging at you in the back of your head. You also want to create a list of tasks to warm up and cool down your work sessions. Now, small wins are key to building momentum and sustaining it. So create a list of simple, less brain-intensive tasks to do whenever you're ramping up to do a work session or starting to run out of gas. And with that list, you can dive right into productive work without too much planning. When author Ryan Holiday feels like procrastinating, he turns to his list of tasks that always needs to get done. And his list includes making notes and reviewing starred emails. You can put together a similar list of tasks that contribute to your output, either at work or at home. For example, you know, maybe reading industry news or researching potential new ideas for a blog post could be something that you take time for yourself to do. Because you don't need to think and plan as much, you have a list of stuff that you can do during the period your mind is winding down or resting. In a way, these tasks can be likened to a mental stretching, which some folks do before and after working out. Also, plan an unrushed, slow, scripted morning to set the tone for your day. Now, if you get a good head start in the morning, you've already set yourself a good foundation for the rest of the day. In contrast, if you start your day off rushed and reactive, you'll increase the likelihood that you're frazzled the rest of the day. So plan the first hour of your morning carefully to build momentum for the rest of the day. Author Tim Ferriss advises on his podcast that the first 60 minutes of the day should be slow and unrushed. More importantly, these morning tasks or routines should be sequenced so specifically that you could take a list and give it to someone else to replicate, for example. Ferriss starts each day with transcendental meditation and journaling. Now, if you'd prefer for your morning to be action-oriented, you can be productive by tackling your most important task first. And finally, you want to start work fresh tomorrow by slaying your most unpleasant task first. Momentum makes a world of difference. So getting in, handling that big important task, and it may only take an hour or so, but that's the big elephant in the room. Get that one done first, and then the rest of the day seems to be a lot easier. Momentum doesn't have to be a happy accident, so minimize context switching and get all your errands taken care of to preserve your focus throughout the week. Create a list of tasks to do for when your momentum is winding down or to get yourself warmed up. Start your day off with a slow, unrushed, and sequenced morning to set your momentum up, and hopefully that will get you set and ready for never touching things twice and being more productive. But what we've talked about at Crown, and obviously we're into more manufacturing and assembly and things like that, is if one person builds the trophies and it's another person's job to plate the trophies and put them in a box, what we don't want to do is build the trophies and then wait 2 days to put the plates on and then wait another day to put them in a box. We want it to flow in sequence. So build, plate, box, ship. And, you know, we've touched that job one time. So that's kind of the where I'm going with that. But again, what you don't want to do is start, stop, or start, three different things and then never get back to the first. So again, multitasking is a bad word in business. Don't do it. Don't delude yourself into thinking that you're more productive because you're really not. Studies have shown that more often than not, people who claim to be multitaskers get less done during the day. We're going to step away for our news break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court hearing a case that could deal a blow to public unions. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
Feeling really, really good.
Some life-changing news for Powerball players in three states today. Winning tickets for that massive $1.5 billion jackpot were sold in California, Florida, and Tennessee. While there's no word yet on who the lucky winners are, 7-Eleven store owner Balibar Otwal knows he's getting a cut of the prize for selling a winning ticket in Chino Hills, California.
Whoever is the lucky person come here, I'm thankful for that person.
The three winners will split the record $1.5 billion prize. At least six people are reported dead after what's being called a terrorist attack in the capital of Indonesia.
Downtown Jakarta came under attack earlier by multiple explosions, gunfire, and reports of suicide bombings. Republican presidential candidates are set to debate once again tonight. This time the stakes are higher as the Iowa caucuses are just weeks away. The debate from Charleston, South Carolina will air on the Fox Business Network. You're listening to USA Radio News.
We already have the best deals on hardwood flooring, but those deals just got even better at Lumber Liquidators' January flooring sale. Right now, you can get 20% off our already low prices on our thickest and best laminate. And our natural maple laminate is an unbeatable 49 cents. That's 50% off. Or get beautiful Bellawood 3/4 inch solid prefinished Brazilian Koa at 40% off. Gorgeous engineered hardwood like Gunstock Oak up to 50% off. Plus, get more great deals starting at just 59 cents and get special financing. Hurry before these deals are gone. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
There are times being a genius would really come in handy.
As your financial advisor, I require a small 12% commission in addition to a 3% subcommission on every financial transaction and a 9% commissionary commission on top of the honorarium.
Honorarium?
It's like a commission.
But thankfully, you don't need to be a genius to do your own taxes. Because with TurboTax Absolute Zero, you can file your simple tax return for free. There are no hidden costs. It's simple, and it's absolutely free. Intuit TurboTax. Taxes done smarter. For simple U.S. returns only. Offer may end without notice. See offer details at TurboTax.com.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business. And working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Currently 31 degrees here in Flemington, and today will be partly sunny with increasing cloudiness, a high of 37 and a low of 24. For tomorrow, it'll be milder with variable cloudiness and a few brief showers late, and a high of 45, a low of 32. Saturday, periods of rain throughout the day with a high of 46 and a low of 33. And on Sunday, possibly a bit of snow and rain throughout the day with a high of 41 and a low of 30. As strange as this may sound, I think it felt pretty good the other day when I started seeing some of the snowflakes come out of the sky. After our 70-degree Christmas Eve, and it's just taken a little bit too long for winter to come, and now that it's here and seems to be here with some colder temperatures, it was nice to see a few flakes falling from the sky. Would like to see them like the night before Christmas, but I'll take them any way I can. Currently, the Supreme Court recently heard a case on Monday that could deal a blow to public unions, and the outcome could make every state what is known as a right-to-work state. Now, the Supreme Court case argued Monday could significantly weaken government unions across the country if the justices rule in favor of the plaintiffs in Fredericks versus the California Teachers Association. Now, every state in the country would essentially become a right-to-work state where employees who choose not to belong to a public union won't have to give it fees of any kind. California is one of the 25 states that collects fees from non-union members, known as an agency shop system. In these states, individual employees decide whether to be a part of the union, but if they choose not to become a member, they still must pay the portion of dues that goes to collective bargaining because they are still covered by the overall contract, such as teachers. In a case spearheaded by the Conservative Center for Individual Rights, which has also sought twice to overturn the Affordable Care Act at the Supreme Court, Rebecca Fredericks and nine other California teachers sued the California Teachers Association on the grounds that giving the union any money violates their right to free speech. Unions fear that losing the case could reduce their roles and their budgets and ultimately limit their influence. Justice Antonin Scalia, who the likely swing vote in the case, seemed unconvinced that outlawing agency fees would lead to their demise. He asked, "Why do you think the union would not survive without these fees being charged?" To a lawyer for the defendants, noting that federal unions do not charge agency fees. "You're the one that's saying we need to do this because otherwise it won't survive. It seems to me the burden is on you to suggest why that is so." Now, in a 1991 case, Scalia, usually a cornerstone of the court's conservative wing, argued in defense of unions and the system of fees for non-members, writing that free ridership would not be incidental but calculated, not imposed but circumstances but mandated by government decree. The so-called free rider problem, which holds that individual workers have little incentive to join a union and pay dues if they know they'll be covered by the contract that the union negotiates regardless, was only briefly discussed during the arguments. Instead, justices focused on the matter of precedent and the difference between public and private employers. Angela Cornell, a director of the Labor Law Clinic at Cornell Law School, said in states like Indiana and Michigan, which only recently became right-to-work states, the full ramifications of the shift are yet to be felt. In Michigan, overall union membership dipped from 16.2% to 14.5% during the first year of the right-to-work system. Public sector union membership dropped from 54.8% to 50.5%, still much higher than states that have been right to work for decades. In those states, it's very, very hard for unions to make it because of the free rider problem, Cornell said, adding that wages for union employees are lower on average in right to work states. Justice Anthony Kennedy returned to this issue multiple times, citing merit pay, teacher tenure, and classroom size as points on which teachers may disagree with the union, and saying the union is absolutely wrong in some of its positions. Agency fees require that employees and teachers who disagree with those positions must nevertheless subsidize the union on those very points, he said. So it's going to be kind of intriguing to watch this case as it rolls out, because it could have a wide-ranging 50-state effect on how teachers' unions and public unions in general are treated. Some people have described this as being union bashing, union busting. I'm not sure that we're there yet. It's just more for those that don't want to join, giving them the opportunity to stay independent. Many people often question, why do small businesses fail, or why do any businesses fail in general? And the average statistic shows that about 60% of most small businesses will actually fail in the first 3 to 5 years. Now, for the most part, small businesses start off with the intent to be successful. Let's face it, no one ever launches a company expecting it to fail. At least I hope they don't. At the same time, I've observed many circumstances in which small business leaders position their enterprise for less than greatness. But why do small businesses fail? Every so often, I come across a small business owner with a relatively new company and no idea or focus on how they will market their goods or their services. In my opinion, starting a business with no capital to invest in marketing is setting it up for absolute failure. Then you have the small business owner who has a few dollars in their pocket, and they throw money at every marketing opportunity that comes their way without vetting each one to make sure it is right for them. I recently met a young woman who started a brick-and-mortar IT solutions company for consumers and small commercial businesses, and when speaking with her, she mentioned needing a marketing plan. I agreed. In fact, I was impressed that she knew that having a marketing plan in place was a must-have for a new business. As I learned more, I found out that she had already signed up for an advertising campaign on the back of supermarket register tapes. Now, although I appreciated the initiative, I was a little concerned with her choice of advertising vehicle. Now, I like to save, and my wife coops coupons too, but I would more than likely pay more attention to an ad that was on my supermarket basket than one on the back of the register tape. Now, if you've noticed, every survey information that most companies now put on your sales receipt appears on the front of the receipt, not on the back. And you see, some time ago, they thought to leverage the real estate on the back of the register receipt tape. However, consumers are not falling all over themselves to use them, and I'm more likely to use the store coupons that the register spits out on a separate piece of tape than on the back of my receipt. In fact, I use those coupons all the time because they offer money off of my next store purchase. The offers are never any good on the back of the receipt. Also, many stores opt to include information on the back of the receipt to convey return policies. Besides, who holds on to supermarket receipt tapes to use as coupons? So, again, she knew she needed to market. I think she just picked the wrong vehicle. Now, the small business leader in question says that she committed to advertising on the back of the supermarket register tape for 1 year at $250 a month. And for a startup business, a $3,000 commitment to one type of advertising opportunity is ill-advised. If you don't have a large budget to begin with, your advertising decision should be based on the habits and needs of your customers as they relate to your business. And in my opinion, this business would have done well to be in front of a homeowner on a regular basis because they provide service that someone only needs when they need it. So probably putting together a branded direct mail postcard campaign, yes, this is old school, but for certain business models, it still makes sense, over a significant period would have been more beneficial. Perhaps a postcard with a magnet business card hot glued to it so that folks can pull it off and put it on the refrigerator. Real estate agents use this tactic brilliantly. She also could have done a targeted online marketing campaign via Google or Bing ads to get people who are searching for her types of services in her target market area. A $3,000 budget could go a long way on an online advertising campaign. Now, I'm going to leave you with some advice. Small business owners should spend their advertising and marketing budget wisely and vet the opportunities for a return on investment. Don't commit to 12 months of anything. Try it out for 3 to 6 months to see if you get any leads or sales. Take the time to put in a special offer or mention codes so that you can track where your leads are coming from. I'll have more on that in a minute. And when in doubt, seek the help of a seasoned public relations and marketing professional who can provide strategy and guidance that can help you save money. I often provide marketing advice to some of my clients to help them get through the critical times of their business cycle, and it's never talking about register receipts. And I encourage all small business owners to invest some of their time and budget into marketing and communications to help brand their business and generate leads. However, don't make hasty decisions that could hurt your business and, more importantly, your bottom line. Now, when you're starting out and you have that finite amount of money, you've got your startup fees, maybe you had to pay a franchise fee, maybe you're paying royalties, there's just so much left for payroll and supplies and things like that. Yes, you need to be marketing, but you have to figure out what works. And the only way to do that is to know where you're spending your money and then where people are finding you. And when we get a new customer 6 years into this at Crown Trophy of Flemington, 6 years in, if we get a new customer, we ask them, how'd you hear about us? Very often they'll say, I saw your television commercial. Maybe they Googled me, or they got a coupon that we sent out a while ago. There's always any printed ad that we do. We might, and I got this tip from Russ at the Success Communication Group and Tom when they came in a couple years ago to do a show here, that call to action. So you want to put something in there like 10% off your next order or 10% off our consulting fees. Call our office. Ask for Susie. Now, you don't have a Susie in your office. What this is doing is that's telling the receptionist or whoever, this is a new lead, and it's come from this particular ad. And you can change the name on the ad every time, but you just want to make it, whether it's a number code, an alphanumeric code, or something like that, you want to be able to track your results. So I love it when people say, oh, I saw your commercial on TV the other day, because then I know that that form of advertising is working for us. And we've tried everything. We've done the Super Saver coupon books. We actually did the register receipts for a while. That failed miserably. We've done ads in newspapers. The best thing for us right now is the combination of this show, our TV ads, and then when we do our social media marketing campaigns on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. So, again, keep trying things. Try to do them as inexpensively as possible, and then match or follow the results to make sure that you're getting the most bang for your buck. We're going to take our final break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the four P's of content marketing, something you won't want to miss. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You lucky dog, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com on a cool day here in Flemington, New Jersey. It's about 31 degrees here in Flemington, and a little jealous of my friends out there listening in Phoenix telling me that it's in the 70s, you dogs. Not fair. But, you know, it is what it is. It's wintertime, so that's what we expect. Glad to be hearing from folks. Brian up in Boston. Scott in New York and down in Florida, Liz. So thanks for joining us today. And thanks also to Lori listening in Phoenix. So glad you can join us today and kind of shows the reach of Hunterdon Chamber Radio. We're going all over the place. Well, let's talk about the four P's of content marketing. And I have to get this story just right because there's a young lady out in the lobby here who is now working for the chamber, and she's going to be working on some of the marketing and public relations tasks here at the chamber. So glad to have her joining us here at the chamber. And hopefully she may be able to take something out of this next story as you can too. Now, one of the basic marketing tenets is focused on the four P's, which are product, place, price, and promotion. And content marketing has its own four P's that are distinct advantages. And I've seen these broadly referenced in content marketing pieces and ebooks, but not with a lot of granular detail, so that a marketer can get a good handle on why they should put some of their hard-earned and even skimpier budgets toward this tactic. And with that in mind, here are the four P's of content marketing. The first is price. Marketers already know that advertising and trade shows cost thousands. Even a simple PPC campaign with a $100 daily cap can reach $3,000 in a month and hardly generate clicks if the CPC is high for the keywords being used. In contrast, content can be cost-effective in comparison. I'm no mathematician, but I can read a spreadsheet, and when I manage my budgets, it's obvious that content is often 10 times cheaper than running an ad campaign or booking at trade shows. The second P is permanence. Now, once your campaign runs, it's done. Your three-month print campaign costs $8,000 for a full-page ad, let's say, and after 3 months, you're out $24,000, but it's gone after those 3 months. No one will ever see it again. And the same applies to your TV spot, radio spot, or banner or programmatic campaign. Your search and social ads have the same short lifespan, plus they stop running during the actual campaign once you reach your daily budget for the day. And with a high CPC, that could mean as little as two clicks for the $100 that you budgeted to spend that day. In contrast, content stays there on your site and around the internet as you circulate. And if you're developing enough content that is applicable for the foreseeable future, you can keep circulating old posts on social media and drawing users. The third P is placement. Companies pay thousands for SEO technologists to fix the code on their sites or for external SEO specialists to get backlinks and try other tricks so that sites are found with certain keywords. But content, text, videos, infographics, photos also draws people and can be easily circulated, and that can bring up SEO rankings as well. And finally, the fourth P and perhaps most important, PR. Companies spend thousands on agencies or staffers to get coverage in the media. Nice, but you can't control what the media writes. The article could be favorable, but it could also be inaccurate or offer the wrong spin to position your company. And when you generate your own content as a company, you control how you are positioning your company. So if your goal is to be a thought leader and your content showcases your knowledge as a company, you will be perceived as an expert. Moreover, often publications and blogs will pick up good content and run it, thus giving your brand additional exposure in media outlets, but on your terms with your work, not their perspective of your work, which is a big difference. Another PR advantage is perception. If you decide to have your branded content offer relevant tips about your particular area, customers don't just see you as a product or a service provider. They also see you as providing them with helpful advice. So a toothpaste brand can help with dental health, a financial services firm can help save people money, and a furniture company can offer home decor tips. Those are the four P's of content marketing: price, permanence, placement, and PR. Now get to work. All right. The next story, and it's currently 12:50, and this is a time of day when we have to kind of condense some of the stories, but let's jump right into that. And I was down in Maryland yesterday, what was the name of the town? Owings Mills, Maryland, for a meeting with some fellow Crown Trophy store owners, and they had asked me to talk about email marketing, social media, and the like, and what they asked about was, how in the world do you come up with your topics? Now, our corporate office creates some flyers that stores can mail out. And again, what I tell people is I'm not writing the newsletters to sell something as much as I am trying to create what I call front of mind presence, the tattooing on the forehead, so that I know that when I send out an email newsletter on a Tuesday that you may not need a trophy or a t-shirt or a sign or a promotional item right at that particular moment. And you may not need one for another 3 to 6 months. What I'm trying to do is create a front of mind presence of what I call the tattooing of the brain, so that at the moment when you decide, I do need awards, I do need custom imprinted apparel, I do need a sign or a banner, you're going to think of me first. You're not going to go to Yellow Pages. You're not going to go to Google. You're going to remember that you know Crown Trophy of Flemington does all of those things. So that's why I do the newsletters and the email marketing. And so you don't have to be Ernest Hemingway. Just write about what you know. Write about what's happening in your business, in your store, in your industry, etc. And also don't feel bad about occasionally writing about yourself to make that personal connection with your audience. Because the more they feel like they know you, the less chance you have that they're just going to run away and go somewhere else and take their business with them. Now, when your hands are full running a small business, the last thing you're probably asking yourself is, what am I going to blog about this week? Or what am I going to put in my newsletter this week? But as that due date inches closer and ideas are running on empty, panic starts to set in. Does the scenario sound all too familiar? No worries. This tip can help. Now, here are three ways to come up with a great content idea very quickly. The first is Quora. Now, this is an exceptional outlet when it comes to intellect. I'm constantly amazed by the smarts displayed by the participants. You simply sign up for an account, then follow accounts or categories that are of interest. And within a few minutes of browsing, content ideas will start flowing like a river for you. There's also Pinterest. Now, you don't need to be a visually oriented niche to utilize this site. There are Pinterest boards about plumbing, fishing, taxis, and even roofers that are full of writing inspiration. And you can do a Twitter search. Now, this tactic is probably my favorite. And I've talked about how to generate leads from Twitter previously, but since these are content ideas, you're going to have to think a little bit outside the box. For instance, since Heroic Search focuses on search engine optimization, or SEO, and content marketing, searches like this would be perfect. Content ideas, marketing. Content ideas, SEO. Brainstorm content, advertising. There are tons of ways to generate new content ideas when you're running on fumes. And don't forget the easiest one of all. Write about what you know. And I'm going to go back to it for just another second. You know, when you're preparing, if you're going to do a newsletter or a blog every week, keep a notepad handy. Keep one by the nightstand. Keep one at your desk at home, in the kitchen, anywhere you can where when inspiration hits you and you think there might be a story there, there might be something to write about, you write it down. Because we're all busy and we forget things. And then when you get home later, as you were driving home, you say, what was I going to write about? And you can't, and it's gone. So always have something to write on, even the memo app on your phone, where you can just quickly jot a name down or a thought down and then come back to it later. So that would be a good tip as far as content is concerned for any kind of writing that you're going to be doing. Just looking at what else we have to talk about. And really, all these stories are just getting way too long. So I don't think we're going to have much time to get into another topic today. But we covered the ones that I wanted to. Just to review the day's show, we had talked about what Mark Cuban would tell you to do if you won that $1 billion Powerball. One we really have to watch is the Supreme Court case affecting public unions. That's currently being heard. Probably have a decision back in June or July. Also, why you should never touch things at work twice. And I want you to think about that. Why small businesses fail in the four P's of content marketing. So again, going back to that, never touch things twice and the multitasking. And I'm very passionate about that. And my staff will tell you that the one word I hate is the word multitasking. And I've seen people who are so proud of themselves because they worked hard all day, but they didn't finish anything. And that's the key, is finishing the job. You know, Larry Winget, who I've mentioned many times on the show, best-selling author, often has that slogan, TNT. Now, for some people, that means dynamite. His TNT means today, not tomorrow. So make sure that you have that in your brain, you know, that today, not tomorrow mentality. Just finish the job and be done with it, and then move on to the next task. But when you have seven things open and nothing's done, it kind of looks bad in the boss's eyes too. So you're going to want to make sure that you, you know, take care, in effect, take care of business, get it done. Another good tip is to, at the end of the day, and they talked about starting your day a little slowly, you can wind it down too. And at the end of the day, take a notepad and write the 10 things you want to accomplish the next day, or that you absolutely have to accomplish the next day, and leave that on top of the pile in order as you want to accomplish them. Now, my new routine, now that I've joined Weight Watchers and going back to the gym, is I'm usually back in my office by like 8:30, 8:45 every morning. There's always a pile sitting in front of my computer keyboard with the 10 tasks that I absolutely positively have to accomplish and want to accomplish, you know, before say 10 or 10:30 in the morning. So I plow right through that. It could be writing a check. It could be answering an email. Whatever the case may be, I want to get that done so that for the rest of the day, I'm available to my staff. And I get more done in that first hour or two than I probably get done for the rest of the day. So just a couple of tips that may help you and keep you organized, and hopefully they'll help you as well. As mentioned, I'm going to try to have the folks from On Deck Capital doing a phone interview with us next week, talking about how to get funding for your small business if the traditional route is either too long or is giving you problems. Very easy process with which to get that done. In sports, in NASCAR, there are only 30 days until the Daytona 500 and the 2016 NASCAR season begins, and I can't wait. In college football, we now have a national champion. Alabama beat Clemson Monday night 45-40 in a thrilling national championship game, and that is their fourth championship in 7 years under Nick Saban. So congratulations to the Alabama Crimson Tide. The Rams in the NFL have been approved by the owners to move the ball club back to Los Angeles. The Chargers can also join them to share the stadium, much the way the Jets and the Giants are currently sharing MetLife Stadium. Also in the NFL, the playoffs continue this weekend. The Chiefs will play the Patriots on Saturday at 4:30, and the Packers will play the Cardinals at 8:15. On Sunday, the Seahawks will play the Panthers at 1:05 p.m., and the Steelers take on the Broncos at 4:40. In college basketball, Kansas holds down the top spot in the AP Top 25, followed by Oklahoma, Maryland, Michigan State, and North Carolina. Villanova, Xavier, the University of Miami, Duke, and SMU round out the top 10, although after a loss last night, Duke will probably be dropping out. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice that I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. And maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I am Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business. And working overtime for help.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com.